Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Giant Mess, a super sloppy sports entertainment talk show that's hosted by a giant mess. That's me, the real Cinch, Neil Lynch. I'm a New York Giants football fan, Mets baseball fan, and I love movies, TV, and comedy. Not a whole lot going on with the Giants, so I'm going to save a lot of that content for next week for the pre-draft special. But we do need to catch up a lot on the Mets, the Metros, who got off to a hellaciously bad start and then have turned around. Well, complete 180 cents. One of the hottest teams in baseball. So hot right now. There's a hope-o-meter, apparently. Optimism for all 30 teams in 2024. The Athletic decided to rank it. Mets came in at 23, 38.4% optimism. We were at 95.6% in 2023 and 94.6% in 2022. eighth and fifth, respectively. So, yeah, the vibes were pretty low going into the season. But the optimists were saying the Mets are doing something that really do execute a long-term strategy, and I couldn't agree more. It's totally, like, what they did this offseason pretty much falls in line with what I was hoping for after the whole, fiasco with Verlander and Scherzer. So I was happy to see that we didn't do this huge, big splash, like where we give Ohtani $1 trillion and we give the other pitcher from Japan who ended up signing with the Dodgers like a boatload of money. Like, it's just, let's just make strategic decisions that are financially responsible, but also address the needs and issues, right? And another optimist said, nobody will be expecting the Mets, and that's when we thrive, my Dan. My dude, when nobody expects us. I love that. Coming out of the blue, dark horse material. There were some report cards handed out, of course, offseason grades for all 30 teams. Mets got a C+, Braves B+, Phillies C+, Marlins D. I don't even know what score they got, an F. With Kodai Senga going down and with Tyler McGill getting hurt, we signed Julio Teheran. On a very, very friendly deal. Then we get off to an 0-5 start. Got swept by the Braves. Reese Hoskins fucking blows. Literally, you're a grown man doing the crybaby gesture to Jeff McNeil. It's just unreal. The Brewers are tied for that lead in the NL Central at They were tied for the NL Central lead with the Pirates, who are playing now. So they also have one of the best offenses in baseball. So they're going to be a contender. Going to go out on a limb there. We then lost 2-3 to the Tigers. Now, these aren't your older brother's Tigers, okay? At the time I was doing the research here, they were 9-6, and they were one game back in the AL Central. They very well could be in the lead in the AL Central, so I do think that they are a different ball club, and so maybe we shouldn't get too down about losing 2-3 from them. Still, 0-5 start. Last time it happened was 2014. Before that was 2005. Of the two, I would hope that our season turns out more like 2005 than it does 2014. I don't even remember what happened in 2014, but I know it was like the emergence of DeGrom. That was basically the main storyline there. So. Then we go to Cincinnati and we pull out a one run win. The next game on Saturday, that April 6th, we just had a shitty eighth inning. Eight runs in that eighth inning, I think it was. Ended up losing 9-6, and then we win the finale 3-1. So very easily could have swept them. And since then, it's been nothing but good vibes, apparently. 1-5 start. We just won again tonight. So now we're above 500. 9-8. 9-3 in our last 12. Holy fuck. We took it to the Braves, y'all. 8-7 win. 6-5 loss, which we applied some pressure there towards the end and almost pulled it out. And then we stuck it to them hard and often in the day game on Thursday, 16-4. And it was funny because Gary Cohen was kind of excited. And I think it was Keith or Ron was like, all right, well, take it easy. It's only April, blah, blah. And he's like, no, you don't understand. How many times have we been blown out by the Braves? I want to fucking enjoy this. And I agree. Let's just enjoy the wins. It's something that I struggle with personally, but it's something that we could all benefit from. Enjoy the wins, y'all. We're the hottest team in baseball. Brandon Nimmo broke out of his slump. Francisco Alvarez got off to a hot start. He's kind of cooled off. Brett Beatty is showing that he belongs at this level, and not only belongs, but is thriving, excelling. You know, his defense has improved. His offense has improved. He's enthusiastic. He's fired up. He brings a great energy. You know, Lindor's kind of starting to turn around. I think, you know, he had that. I mean, he got off one of the worst starts he's ever gotten off. I think it was this past weekend. He was batting 136 with like a 4-something OPS. And you're just like, holy shit. I know you were struggling, but not that bad. And of course, he made some statement that like he didn't think that he had many people in his corner, just family and friends or whatever. And it's just like, I almost tweeted from the porcelain throne. I almost tweeted at him like, hey, bud, it's okay. We're Mets fans. We got to believe, and we believe in you. I almost tweeted that at him. Like, that's going to be the thing that turns him around. But honestly, if everyone had tweeted that, power in numbers, right? I think that does do something to a guy. And of course, we ended up taking the route that the Phillies took, which, you know, I'm sure the Phillies fan base will hold that over our heads, where instead of booing the guy that's slumping, they then give him a standing ovation. And of course, Lindor started to be more productive. So taking a page out of the Phillies playbook. Yeah. The Brandon Nimmo game was awesome. This is from Matthew Brownstein, who always gives great stats on Twitter. Here's a list of Mets who hit two or more home runs and drove in 5 or more runs out of the leadoff spot. Greg Jeffries in 89, Curtis Granderson in 2016, and Brandon Nimmo in 2024. Before that Brandon Nimmo game, the Mets had not won a game in Atlanta that they trailed by 4 or more runs in 8 years. The pitching, particularly the bullpen, has been outstanding. Reed Garrett is the first pitcher that kind of a reliever that kind of caught people's attention. 8 1/3 innings pitch, 4 hits, 2 walks, 13 strikeouts. You know, dating back to the fall of last year. So that's been nice to have. You know, the Royals were the hottest team in baseball over the last 10. We're 7-3 in the last 10 before they met us, an even hotter franchise and team and squad. We took it to them on that Friday, April 12th, 6-1. We lost 11-7 the next day, next night, but fight. That's what the team has. And like, apparently that's what has been reported, is like, there's a great energy in the clubhouse and it's infectious and contagious. Cause you look at someone like Harrison Bader, who got off to a really bad start. And I was like, this is the fucking guy that we're starting in center over Brandon Nimmo. Like, what the fuck? And he's been incredible, especially in clutch opportunities. We get the one run against the Royals. On Sunday, and then we come from behind win on Monday. Wasn't able to watch it because it took me 4 hours to get back from work. My commute sucks a bowl of donkey doo-doo. So I missed that, but it was a come from behind win a la Harrison Bader, and then we got another great win tonight, 3-1. So we wrap up the series with Pittsburgh tomorrow. It's a day game. It would be nice to get the sweep. And then we have a pretty intense schedule. West Coast trip, Los Angeles Dodgers, and then the San Francisco Giants. The Giants made a lot of moves that I thought the Mets might entertain this offseason. It was like every player that I thought the Mets had a good chance to sign, it seemed like the Giants were like snatching them up. So we're now 9-8. And I got to look at the updated standings because this is outdated, bro. And we're still 2.5 games back Braves at 11-5. Phillies at 10-8. But we're 7-3 in our last 10, just like the Braves. So, yeah. Things are looking up. You know, I think that what was tough to swallow at the beginning was the fact that we were still having some struggles with our what we're calling our core position players. So Alonso, McNeil, Lindor, Nimmo. Nimmo obviously broke out. Lindor's trying on the precipice of breaking out. Alonso definitely, I think, has broken out. And I cannot believe the home runs that Peter Alonso hits. I've never seen so many line drive home runs. I mean, there are claims that the balls are juiced, and I'm here for it. But it's the pitching, right? The bullpen has stepped up. They showed a graphic today. The Pirates rotation staff has done fairly well too. I think the Pirates and the Mets, both the pitching staffs are like 2-3 in terms of team ERA. So even though our starters are not going too deep into games, we're averaging just over 5 innings per start. The bullpen has really stepped up and has really looked good. And the guys that have not, Tonkin traded for cash considerations. Johan Ramirez, I think, was the other one who's traded for cash considerations. That was a quick hook. Like, holy fuck. Like, you're on the opening day graphic 40-man roster, and a week or two into the season, you get shellacked in an appearance or two, and you were gonzo. It's like, whoa, dude. Severino has kind of struggled. Manaea didn't look too great in his last outing. But you got to feel good about Jose Quintana. He's been old reliable, I feel like. It never feels like he's given us a really shitty, awful start. He's pretty consistent, which is all you're asking for. Severino's been kind of like, you know, inconsistent. Manaea, like I said, big dude, but like not great in his last outing. And then you have Hauser. And Buto is the big story, right? Jose Buto. He got the start over, was it Tehran or someone else? Because they want to see what they got with this guy. And honestly, I think he earned it. He threw a hell of a gem in his last outing against the Royals, I think it was. So, I mean, I think, you know, let McGill heal up. Peterson's gone for a long time. Senga's going to come back, May. But Quintana, Severino, Manaea, Hauser, Buto. I don't hate it. And Edwin Diaz looks fucking amazing. He still looks good. I mean, I know he gave up that home run over the weekend in the Royals game, but it's just sharp. He's making really nice pitches. There was one cutter. It was like caught the bottom left-hand corner. I was just like, fucking A, dude. What a goddamn pitch. So it does look like he's back to his old form in 2022. He now has 100 saves in a Mets uniform, which ties him with Billy Wagner, I think it is. You know, our defense has not been great. Has not been great. You know, which is ironic because I feel like a lot of the moves that we did make over the offseason were to bolster the defense. Zach Short, Joey Wendell, Tyrone Taylor, Harrison Bader. You know, I felt like a lot of that was, these are not guys that are like knocking the shit out of the ball, but like are sure-handed defensively. And I feel like there was a stretch there where it was like, these are the guys? They're not fielding the ball. And then it's starting to feel like JD Martinez might be Jed Lowry 2.0, which fucking sucks, man. because I thought that was, I was like, it just never felt real that we were going to sign him. Because I guess I've always thought back to like Boston Red Sox 2013, 2014, or wherever the hell he was on the Red Sox. That's where my mind took me. And it's like, well, he's not, is he that still? And of course, it's taking him way longer than it should to ramp up. But it's also like, well, so what were you doing? You're just like hanging poolside? Like, were you swinging the bat? What were you doing? You're a DH, dude. Like, how are you getting hurt swinging a bat? I don't know. So hopefully he's not Jed Lowry 2.0. But like, if he can come into the lineup as a DH with us playing the way we are right now, look out, dude. But then you got to sacrifice someone like DJ Stewart. Oof. Starling Marte is swinging a hot bat, batting 350 over his last 9 games. DJ Stewart, who I just mentioned, 932 OPS so far. Damn, homie. Harrison Bader with runners in scoring position. I mentioned this earlier, 4 for 9. Over 1,000 OPS. So, you know, that's good to see, because I think he, like, seeing him struggle early on the season, I was just like, oh, fuck. So we signed this guy for defense and he just doesn't hit in the 8 spot? Cool. Brooks Raley has been good. 6 1/3. 1 hit, 8 Ks, 0.67 whip. As I mentioned, Buto tossed 6 innings, 2 hits. 9 Ks, 91 pitches, ZRA is 0.75. The first Mets pitcher to go 6 innings twice this year and just his 2 starts. So, oh boy, what a find. What a diamond in the fucking rough that would be if Jose Buto can continue at this pace. What a boost it would be. And then you got to think about, like, whoa, what do we do when Senga comes back? You go to like a, I guess you could, well, remember last year there was a whole storyline about him pitching once every 5-6 days. Do you go back to that and you say, all right, well, Buto's in the mix now. We can do it. I don't know. Brett Beatty's 4 for 9 with runners in scoring position this season. This is from April 11th, so that's a few days ago, but good to see him swinging the stick. So, you know, things are pointing up, trending up for the Mets. You know, it's hard to say with starts to a season how you should think about it or what you should think about it. I mean, it's April baseball. You know, that's why, like, it does feel different, though, right? The fact that you can go into Atlanta, you're not blowing the lead, you're coming back on Atlanta. Those kind of things weren't happening last year. So those are all good signs, you know, and I would love to be a dark horse this year and just kind of fly under the radar with the guys that we have. Because it was exactly, I mean, you know, I wasn't like chomping at the bit to get the season started. I watched 0 innings of spring training because I was just like, you know what? Just play it cool, man. Play it cool. We're going to do our thing. They're going to do their thing. Let's just sneak attack these motherfuckers. So, yeah. Metro's playing well, doing well. This Mendoza guy, from all accounts so far, I mean, when you win, of course, you're going to have good stories leak and come out about, you know, how he's handling the clubhouse. But so far, so good. I mean, you know, there were times where it was like people were saying deer in the headlights when you're an 0-5 start, especially as a first time manager. Hard not to think that. But he seems to be making the right, pulling the right levers, pulling the right strings. He's got the team feeling good and working together. You know, someone like Harrison Bader, who, even during his slump and when he's struggling, if Pete, Big Meat Pete, hits a ding dong, he's out there. He's the first guy out there trying to like rev him up, psych him up, and doing the celebration. So, I guess that's, you know, what's going to carry this team. Lindor will turn it around. You know, it's just, I think what has been frustrating, you know, it's like beating a dead horse, but what's been frustrating with the Mets team is like the when all four, I hate saying core four because it's just so reminiscent of the Yankees, but when your core group of players is all just like struggling, you know, do we have the supplemental people to bring us through? Like when Nimmo, McNeil, Lindor, Alonso, if they're all struggling, can we pull it out? And we kind of were able to for a couple games, but it's not tenable, right? Not sustainable. But goddamn, if Marte stays healthy, if Lindor stays healthy, if everyone could just stay healthy, because that's been the big storyline, is like a lot of these pitchers are going down, like dropping like flies. Spencer Strider is out for the season. You know, Shane Bieber, I think, is out for the season. So there's a lot of guys going down. They're blaming the timed clock, whatever. But ultimately, you know, if we can just keep, if Senga comes back and we're able to keep five pitchers healthy for the whole season, we're going to win enough games to make the playoffs. There, I said it. All right. That's all that you need to know. There's no more to know. That's another episode of Giant Mess. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Follow me on Twitter at RealCinch. Follow me on Instagram at RealCinch. Follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/GiantMess. Follow me on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and see this fucking ugly mug. I mean, what more incentive do you need? Watch me visually melt down. Because the facial expressions that I give, along with the verbals, are priceless. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Big pre-draft special next week. What are the Giants going to do at 6? Are they going to trade back? Are they going to trade up? Quarterback, receiver, offensive lineman, cornerback. I'll answer all those questions. No, I will not answer all of those questions and more next week. So, yeah, let's get back on track, huh? Mentally, physically, emotionally. We've been through some tough times, but let's just dig our way out and keep going. You're stronger than you think you are. All right, that's enough. Adios, muchachos.